Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. I did a sermon recently at the funeral of a dear Christian woman. Her name was Barb. And I went to her deathbed before she died, and I shared a Bible verse with her. And then I went to the funeral, and I preached on that verse, and I said, I want everybody to memorize this verse with me. So we did, right in the funeral sermon. And I thought, I need to put this on TV, because I hope this Bible verse will change your life. It changed mine. I had a drug problem growing up. I was drugged to church every Sunday. And it was a good church, a biblical church. But it wasn't clear for me how to be saved. And so I remember, if you would have asked me at age 18, Tom, are you sure you're saved? I think I would have said, I hope so. And then when I'm 18 years old, next to my college was a big tent revival. I'd never been to one, so I thought I'd try it. And I went there, and the good singing, but two guys came up to me, and Tom, we'd like to introduce ourselves, and I think they were Campus Crusade for Christ people, I'm not sure. Tom, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? Have you received Him as your personal Lord and Savior? And I remember my response, yeah, because Lutherans don't tend to talk like that. But it was during that time, someone explained to me the verse we're going to memorize. It changed my life. You can know if you're saved. So would you do this? Take out your Bible, turn to 1 John 5:13. Not the book of John, but further back toward Revelation. 1 John 5:13. I hope this verse changes your life. Let's pray. Father, we pray before this program starts that God will make the people who should hear the program turn it on. So, Lord, I don't believe anyone is watching this by accident. People that don't know Christ, may you bring them to Him in this hour so they can spend eternity in the right place. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, here's the verse I want you to... Would you say that, no matter where you're at, wherever you're watching this show, would you say these words out loud after me? Here we go. 1 John 5:13. I write this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God that you may know that you have eternal life. Let's do it again. Let's memorize this. I'll say it and you repeat after me. I write this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Let's say it all out loud together. Here we go. 1 John 5:13. I write this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Let's go through this life-changing verse phrase by phrase. First words. I write this to you. Now, the Apostle John, who wrote this letter back about 85 AD, it ultimately became part of Holy Scripture. So not only is the Apostle John writing this to his audience back in the first century, it's also being written to you. So here's the first lesson. Read your Bible daily. The woman whose funeral I did, her husband said to me, Barb read her Bible every day. And when I was a little boy, I had an older sister, Ruth Ann. And I would go into her bedroom at night, and she always had her white confirmation Bible on her lap. She read the Bible before she went to bed. And when I was 12 years old and got my confirmation Bible in the Lutheran church, I don't know anybody telling me to read it. But because Ruth Ann read her Bible, I started reading my Bible every night. I still read my Bible every day. You know, there's an old saying, the Bible that is falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. So the first thing I want to urge you, everybody, take out your Bible, keep it out, read it every day. And sometimes people say, well, the Bible's too hard to understand. No, it isn't. Overwhelmingly, it's easy to understand. But there are difficult passages. So what you do, you buy something like the ESV Study Bible, and it's got the Bible on top, and then explanatory notes at the bottom of every page. So yeah, one way or another, find a good Bible and read it every day. All right, first words were, I write this to you. Next words, who believe in. Here's the next lesson. We are saved by believing in Jesus, not about Jesus. All right, let me explain this. A lot of people believe about Jesus. They know he's up there. The devil knows Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead. Believing about Jesus doesn't save anybody. You got to believe in him. Let me explain this. Here is a chair. Now, I believe this chair exists. I think that's a chair, and it exists. I know all about the chair. But, now watch, I'm going to put my life into the hands of this chair. I'm going to trust this chair is going to hold me up, and I'm not going to fall over backwards and break my neck. I am trusting not just that the chair exists. I trust this chair is going to save me and keep me up. That's how we're saved. We are not saved by believing about Jesus. The Bible says believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved. Trust in what he did for you. And I'm going to read for you. Martin Luther, 500 years ago, wrote these words. When I am talking about faith, I am not talking about merely acknowledging that something is true. That kind of faith merely states Christ's suffering and death are historical facts. Genuine faith, however, says, I believe that Christ suffered and died for me. I have no doubts about this. I rest in this faith. I can depend on God's word to help me fight against sin and death. Next words. I write this to you, read your Bible, who believe in, not about, the name of the Son of God. Here's the next lesson. Jesus is the Son of God. He is also God the Son. I mean, do you explain this? Both are true. Jesus is the Son of God. God the Father is the eternal Father, and he has an eternal Son, Jesus Christ. True. The Bible also teaches Jesus is God the Son. Jesus with the Father and the Holy Spirit is God. Jesus is eternally God with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Do you understand that Jesus is not only the Son of God, which he is, he's also God the Son, one God, three persons, the Trinity. Next words. I write this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know. Here's the next words. This is what changed my life. You can know you are saved. Some people say, well, no, you don't find that out till you die. Then you find out where you're going. No, no, no. Other people say, well, it's arrogant for you to say you know you're going to heaven. Well, if it depended on me, that would be arrogant. But my salvation depends on someone else, Jesus on the cross. So this verse teaches you can know if you are saved. I've told this story before, but I always pray before I get on the airplane. God, if it's your will, put me next to someone to share the gospel. So I think I'm flying to Florida, and the plane takes off, and here's a 12-year-old boy named Matthew. And we talk for a while, and he finds out I'm a pastor. And I go to First Baptist Church of Sarasota, Florida. I said, good for you. And I said, Matthew, can I ask you what they teach you at your church? Okay. I said, Matthew, do you know what the Trinity is? I've never heard of the Trinity. So I explained there's only one God, but in God are three eternal persons, God the Father who made us, Jesus Christ who died and rose again, and the Holy Spirit. Well, he understood that Jesus was God, but he had never heard of the Trinity. And Baptists believe in the Trinity, but he didn't get it. So I said, well, let me ask you another question. You know how the world's going to end? Matthew said, didn't know it was going to end. So I explained the second coming of Christ, that someday, could be tonight, we'll hear trumpets, we'll look up, Jesus comes down in the clouds for every eye to see, he raises the dead, he judges the world, those who believe in him go to heaven, those who reject him go to hell, then the earth melts. Well, he hadn't heard this. So I thought we better get to the big one. I said, Matthew, let's say something happens to the engine of this plane and in 5 minutes we all go down in flames, we all die. If that happened, do you know where you're going to go for eternity? And he got kind of quiet, and he said, I don't know where I'd go. So I shared with him what's called the gospel, the good news. I said, Matthew, we're all sinners. We all deserve hell. But God loved us so much that God came down from heaven, became a human being. His name was Jesus. He lived about 33 years old. He never sinned because he was God, so he could pay for our sins. He went to the cross, took the punishment for our sins so we could be forgiven. It killed him. He rose from the dead. And I said, Matthew, the Bible promises, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. And, you know, the rest of the flight, we just talked about other stuff, but I remember he brought it up again at the end, and he said, now, I just want to make sure I got this. You don't have to die to find out where you're going to land. And I said, bingo. He said, if I trust in Christ, I can know for sure right now that I'm going to heaven. And I said, yes. 1 John 5:13. Next words. I write this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know, next word, that you have eternal life. I want you to notice the tense of that verse, present tense. You can know you have eternal life. In other words, if you're a believer in Christ, eternal life is not something you're going to get someday. You've got it right now. Hallelujah. My grandma is dead and in heaven, but when she was on earth, she already had it, as long as you believe in Christ. I write this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have, last words, eternal life. And here's the last lesson. Everybody has eternal life somewhere. The Bible teaches there's a heaven. The Bible teaches there's a hell. And when you die, you will go to heaven or hell for all eternity. Do you remember the Far Side cartoons? I think they were the funniest I've ever seen in my lifetime. But there is a Far Side cartoon. Satan is standing next to the door of hell, smiling. A long line of people are going in the door, and the sign on the top says, "Today is the first day of the rest of your life." You know, I've shared this a number of times, but one more time. I had a sound man in my church, and one day I'm getting up to preach, and he says, Pastor Tom, how long is eternity? I said, it's forever. He said, eternity is this huge mountain made out of solid diamond, the hardest substance on earth. Once every 100 years, a little bird flies by, rubs its beak once on the top of the mountain, flies away. 100 years later, the bird comes back, rubs its beak once on the top of the mountain, flies away. 100 years later, comes back, rubs its beak. And this sound man said, when that huge diamond mountain is worn all the way down to nothing, the first day of eternity has passed. When you die, you go to heaven for all eternity, or you go to hell for all eternity. How can I make sure I land in the right place? 1 John 5:13, I write this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Well, I close with this. So when I preached that Barb's funeral recently, we were about to go put her into the graveyard. And I said to the people at the funeral, you too, whether you're cremated, normally buried, embalmed, whatever you are, embalmed, whatever way you go, everybody one way or another we'll go into death. We'll go into the graveyard. And I said, Barb knew the Lord. And her going into the graveyard is going to be good news. And I shared this. There was a little girl that used to skip through the graveyard every day on her way home from school. And one day a man saw this and he said, little girl, aren't you afraid to walk through this graveyard all by yourself? And she said, no, sir, because I know my home is right on the other side. And I said to the people at the funeral, you're going to go into the graveyard, so will I one day. It's so much easier to go into that graveyard if you know that your home is right on the other side. So let's sum this up. 1 John 5:13. I write this. Everybody, read your Bible daily. I write this to you who believe in, not about, who believe in Jesus, the Son of God, that you may know, because it's not based on how good I am, because I'll never be good enough. It's based on Christ and the grace of God on the cross, that you may know that you have, not someday get, you already got it. You have, present tense, eternal life. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor's Study, where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, our first question today is, why are there so many versions of the Bible, and which one is the best?
Well, you know, you've got the original Hebrew Old Testament, the original Greek New Testament. And so what the scholars do is they take the originals and then translate them, in our case, into English. And sometimes they want to do it so it's real easy to understand. So you get a version I don't like called the Living Bible, which is more for kids, and even that I'd wonder about. And then you've got real precise versions of the translation. So I'll tell you what I like the best. My two favorite are the New American Standard Bible and the one I recommend the most, the ESV Study Bible. And the reason I like this, it's very exact. If you really want to know what the original languages say, you read the ESV Study Bible. But what I really like about it, at the bottom of every page, they've got explanatory notes. So if you come across a verse that seems difficult, you're not sure how to read it, you go to the ESV Study Bible and you look there. But yeah, so anyway, go ahead, and that's it.
All right. The Bible teaches that hell is destruction. If one denies Christ, he is wiped out. A loving God would not make people suffer eternally.
Well, that person believes in something called annihilationism, mm-hmm. that if you don't believe in Christ, when you die, you don't suffer for eternity. You're just wiped out, annihilated. When I was about 18, I tried to believe in that, mm-hmm. but I was going to a Bible study, and they kept saying, look, read the Bible. Hell is in there. So my first year of college, I reread the New Testament. Every time it mentioned hell, I wrote it down. By the end of that year, my mind got changed. So are people wiped out when they die? No. According to the Bible, when you die, you go to heaven or hell. Now, there are people that believe in annihilationism, the Seventh-day Adventists, the Jehovah's Witness, and liberal people in the church. I've quoted her many times. The head bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America was asked by a Chicago newspaper, Bishop Eaton, is there a hell? Her response, there may be, but I think it's empty. And her view was, nobody goes to hell. Eventually, everybody ends up in heaven. Hmm. Jesus said there's people in hell weeping and gnashing their teeth. In the end of Matthew, Jesus calls hell eternal punishment, not just punishment, not just getting wiped out. And then if you remember Matthew, Luke 15, the rich man in hell, he's not wiped out. He's begging to get out, if you remember that. So whether you like the doctrine of hell or not, Jesus taught it.
Right, if it's not in Scripture.
Yep.
Can't
yep,
believe
there
it.
You go.
Jesus is not God. Who is Jesus praying to if he is God? Himself? There is a difference between Jesus and God.
Well, you're partially right. There is a difference between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're distinct persons of the Trinity. Nevertheless, there's only one God. And the Bible teaches
that Jesus is God with the Father and the Spirit. Where does it say that? John chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, Philippians chapter 2, John chapter 20, Jesus rose from the dead. Thomas says to Jesus, my Lord and my God. And Jesus doesn't say, whoops, Thomas, what a mistake. He says, you should have believed without seeing the resurrection. So, yes, Jesus is God. People ask the question this way. Well, if Jesus was God, who was he praying to in the garden? Mm-hmm. To himself? No. You have God the Son praying to God the Father, because even though there's only one God, there are distinctions between the three persons.
Okay. I once heard a TV evangelist say in one of his sermons that Satan cannot attack us physically. But to me, that is a contradiction to what Job 2, verse 7 says.
Yeah, and you're right. In Job chapter 2, God gives Satan permission to attack Job physically. Mm-hmm. So I would have to disagree with that TV preacher. And I'll make this point. Mm-hmm. This TV preacher makes mistakes too, which is why all Christians should be reading the Bible regularly, because don't believe it just because I say it. Make sure it's in there.
Yeah. Amen. Proverbs 12, verse 26. This has been my favorite verse for many years. I'm curious to learn more about it and see if there's anything I'm missing. Can you explain?
All right, let me read it. Proverbs 12, verse 26. One who is righteous is a guide to his neighbor, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. I think that's kind of clear. Mm-hmm. So I don't think he's missing anything. Now, here's my ESV study Bible. And if there's an unclear verse, though, it'll at the bottom tell you, you know, the options or what people believe, scholars believe it means. But, you know, sometimes, like in here, it doesn't talk about that verse. So I go to my next thing. If you really want to study Scripture, get the ESV Study Bible and then buy a Bible commentary. This is my Bible commentary on Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. You open it up and you get a much bigger explanation of those verses than you do in the ESV Study Bible. So I think every Christian should have some study Bibles, some commentaries, so you can study the Scriptures on your own.
Amen.
Yeah.
Could you explain Philippians 4, verse 13 in context with the prior verses?
Yeah.
Also the same with Jeremiah 29, 11.
Yeah. Do you know, Mona, that you can quote the Bible to say, there is no God? That's in Psalms. But read the context. What does it say right before it? The fool says in his heart, there is no God.
Yeah.
So, of course, when you read a scripture, you got to read what's before it and what's after it. So let's do that. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. This is the famous verse where Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Okay, what did it say in verse 12 right before it? I, Paul, know how to be brought low. I know how to abound in any and every circumstances. I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. Quote, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So in that context, Paul's talking about his sufferings. Mm-hmm. He's not talking about jumping off of buildings and, you know, I can jump off a building and I can, you know. No, the context shows Paul knew how to suffer. He knew how to have abundance. And he learned that no matter what happens, Christ will strengthen me. So that's a good point. You got to look at the context.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know if you were going to go to Jeremiah 29.
Now we're going to go to Jeremiah chapter 29. I forgot that one. Jeremiah 29, starting at verse 11.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. All right, let's read the verse right before it. Thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you and I will fulfill my promise and bring you back to this place. So in context, Jeremiah is predicting that after the Jews have to serve Babylon for 70 years in slavery, God will let them go back to the promised land. And that happened. And what does he say? Because I have plans for you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can I take that verse and make it mean God has plans for me too?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think you can say that's a secondary derivative from that verse. But originally, mm-hmm. he was talking to the Jews when they got clobbered by Babylon and how God was going to bring them out. But you know, but the principle I think we can mm-hmm. apply to our lives.
Mm-hmm.
But again, the context is important.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have been married many years to my Christian husband who has dementia. My question is, if I committed a personal sin and asked Jesus to forgive me, do I have to confess my sin to my husband to be fully forgiven?
Oh, this is a hard one. So here, I'm not sure of the situation, but it sounds like this. Maybe she committed adultery years ago. Her husband's got dementia. Even if he didn't have dementia, is she required to ask her husband's forgiveness for that?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think there, you know, if he can't understand it, I don't think you need to.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say that he doesn't have dementia. If you were to cheat on your husband, I'm giving my opinion, and you got to pray it through and talk. I can't imagine cheating on your spouse and not talking to them about it. Because
mm-hmm.
who wants to live with a cloud over your head the rest of your life wondering if he's going to find out? So I think the prudent thing normally is that, you know, I got to talk to you about something, honey. I'm so sorry I did this, and I'm so sorry I've asked God to forgive me. Now I ask you to forgive me.
Mm-hmm.
I think that'd be healthy. Does it have to be done in each and every instance? I'm not willing to say that. I think you got to pray about it and
mm-hmm.
seek the Lord and seek some advice from Christian friends.
So with someone who has dementia, would you just go to God?
I think, if it doesn't really going to sink in or whatever,
right.
I don't know that you would need to. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here's a letter from a question from a child. Do we have jobs in heaven?
You know, I don't know the answer to that one. You know, it's just that you go to heaven, it's wonderful for eternity. We will worship the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's part of our job description. We'll be worshiping the Lord for eternity. I remember Billy Graham's teaching that people will have work in heaven, but I personally don't know a verse that teaches that.
Mm-hmm.
So
I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, we will. Well, everybody, thanks for watching our program here. Where am I? Thanks for watching our program today. We're on the air because of God in His providence providing us with what we need to get this out all over the country. So pray for our ministry. And if the Lord taps you on the shoulder to support us, you can go to pastorstudy.org where there's an address coming up. All of our TV shows are on the internet at that website. Or you can go to... that's YouTube. We've got a channel there. We've got Facebook articles that I write. If you go to our website, you can hit the F button. We're on Instagram. We're on Threads. We're on, what's this, TikTok. So just there's all kinds of ways to watch us. But do pray for us. And just thank you for watching. And what else should we say? We thank you for, we get lots of response now. So we try to hit a lot of your questions, and most of them, I think, we do. So God bless you for that.
Psalms 119:89. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Thanks for joining us today. God bless you. See you next time on The Pastor Study.
Thank you for watching The Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.